Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit solaray.com/Astair and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any stage's formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
How long have you two known each other?
I'm really bad with dates, but it was, I think we met in 1997.
If you say so, it's fine with me.
It was in mid-90s, like last century. So we are what you call old pals.
This is Olenka Viščica and Dražen Grubišić. They're artists based in Croatia. How did you meet?
I think we were part of the same, you know, Zagreb cultural scene, going out at the same places. We knew each other by sight, I think.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen Olenka, but she's quite remarkable, so you well, would notice her.
This is the first time I hear this. You need 30 years to pass to... I think the formal introduction was when I was working with a French choreographer who was at residency in Zagreb, and she was mounting a new dance show, and I needed someone to do the set design, and Dražen and his colleague then, they were like rocking in Zagreb at that time. They were like the best, and I wanted the best for the show, and we were supposed to travel with the show to Morocco. And I just stopped him at the club, I think, where we were both going out, and asked him whether he would be willing to help me and work with us. And maybe you can...
I'm just laughing here.
You have a completely other
recollection. No. I remember before that we went to Marina Abramović performance in Ljubljana, and you came as an extra with my friend, and like I asked you about your then boyfriend, and you said you split, and I was like, okay, great. I remember that part, and I remember when you mentioned the show that I said, sure, you don't have to pay me, I just take me to Morocco.
I remember that trip was such a great fun to spend time with Dražen, and also to discover how reliable he was. I remember that for that show, the set design he made in Zagreb, I sent it by air cargo. And when we came there, it didn't come. They didn't succeed to release it from the customs. And then I was totally, I freaked out and I was, all my ships were sinking. And Rajan said, okay, no worries, we'll make another one. So that was the beginning of an adventure. We were in a Renault 4 car, going to little shops and carpeteners in Morocco, trying to build a new set design, and we did it. So it was a beautiful part of our lives, I think.
How did you start dating?
How did we start dating? Spontaneous? I mean, we were hanging out, of course.
I remember Drazen always tells this anecdote. I don't know why he doesn't want to tell it now, because I'm short-sighted.
Oh, so. That one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that made her very, very interesting, because you have this wonderful person that sometimes it's really happy to see you, and sometimes she just passes by you and, like, doesn't even glance at you. And I was thinking, like, okay, what kind of behavior is this? Later on, I found out she was short-sighted, and sometimes she would have her contacts on and sometimes not. So that explained a lot.
She wasn't trying to ignore you.
Yeah, no. She just didn't see me for real. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it just happened, like, spontaneously, as Trajan said. I don't remember, like... let's go on a date. It's not a big deal in Croatia. I don't know now, but maybe there is more of this global influence now, and people go on a date when they hook up on Tinder or... But in those times, you didn't go on a date. You just went out and then you kind of spent time with someone, had fun, and then maybe...
Moved in.
Yeah.
Olenka and Drazen went to performances together and art galleries. They'd go mushroom foraging and then pickle the mushrooms. They'd like to have friends over for dinner.
And then we moved to the center of the town, to this little house, which was really cute, but there was something ominous about it, because it looked as if it was a half of a house, as if it was... cut through the middle, so just one half was left. But there was a little garden. A
little workshop for me.
Yes, yeah. So I still live in the neighborhood, so the house is still there. Someone else is living.
Do you remember thinking to yourselves at the beginning of the relationship, this is the person that I can see myself being with for the rest of my life?
I'm
not sure if you were thinking that when you're that age. Maybe somebody is. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the reason why I'm still single, because I never... I don't know, relationships and love, I always wanted to keep it open. Anything can happen. I'm not the person who says, like, yes, this is the person I want to spend my life with. I want to get married and have kids and have... it's just not my nature, I think. So we just enjoyed life. So I think we were happy. And many times when the things are over, when you look back... you realize how happy you were. You are not maybe aware at that particular moment, because you are living it. And I don't know.
Well said.
Olenka and Drazen broke up 20 years ago. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love. What happened?
Well, I think it was we were nothing special. What happened? What happens in many other relationships? They just ran out of fuel, and one morning you wake up and you realize this is not going anywhere. And that started a long period of, you can call it midnight conversations, or you can call it torturing ourselves, or when we were trying to figure out whether we would, you know, stay together and try to make the best of it or go separate ways.
It was like a nice little balloon that kind of let air out, and at one moment you realize, oh, there's not much air left, so maybe we should break up.
How long had you been together?
About 4 years.
I would say so, yes.
To save money, Olenka and Drazhen decided to keep living together for a little while.
That was insane, to live together, keep living together, but not as a couple. And then we kind of realized that all these things around us were too powerful, and they were witnesses of other times that were now gone. And you couldn't bear to look at some of the things. I remember, you know, that was the time. Sometimes I don't want to say that because that kind of says how old we are. That was the time of VHS tapes, and we had so many of those, you know, the films we loved, and this VHS player. But that was a memory of many a cuddly night, and when the cat we had, I mean, we had, but he had to stay outside because Drazhen was allergic to cats. He would sneak in behind the record player, and then Drazhen would start coughing, and we would realize the cat was there. So these were like small stories connected to everything around us. And that kind of prompted us to start speaking about that.
Well, the biggest one definitely was the wind-up bunny toy, which after the cat died, he served as a like pet. It serves as a joke, sort of, between us. You know, if somebody was asleep, you would wind it up and let it run in the circles in the room until this Olenka will wake up or myself will wake up. And when you go on a trip, and then you take the bunny with you, and you take the photos of the bunny in the places where you usually would take the photos of your loved one. And so it was like a sort of a little performance. And he actually traveled a lot, and he's seen the world. And I remember while we were discussing about the objects and what they represent and the memories they possess, and then the bunny was sitting in the corner of this room that we were sitting in, and just thinking about who's gonna, you know, what you're gonna do with it, who's gonna take it. And that's when we started talking about how strange it is that these objects can mean so much and have such an emotional impact on just two people, on nobody else, because nobody else knows the story.
There were so many beautiful moments that were memorized in those objects, all these silly, cheesy things you do when you are young and in love. And we were kind of imagining, I think, the space where these objects could have their own life and where they could keep the memory, at least the memory of that love, which is no longer there, somehow ignited, living.
Olenka left town for a vacation with friends. While she was gone, Drazhen started looking for a new place to live.
I went to a Croatian island to really take a rest, but it was a futile adventure because I was so tired, and I knew that when I would come back to Zagreb, I would have to meet Drazhen, we would have to divide our possessions, and that's gonna be the end.
On the island, Olenka got a fever.
And that was the worst holiday ever because I spent it. My friend took a mattress out of the house, put it under a pine tree. It was a beautiful place, no electricity. One of these deserted places in Croatia. And somehow thinking about what chores are waiting for me when I go back, I had this enlightenment, like this could be something that's called Museum of Broken Relationships.
We'll be right back. Support for This Is Love comes from Indeed. Hiring someone new can sometimes feel like finding a missing puzzle piece. The right person can complete a team, but the search can take a long time. And sometimes it feels entirely up to chance. Indeed is designed to help you find that perfect match much easier and much faster. Indeed's matching engine learns from your preferences for job candidates and becomes more accurate over time. That means the more you use it, the better it gets. You also need to worry about the busy work of hiring. Indeed will help you with scheduling, screening, and messaging candidates. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/thisislove. Just go to Indeed.com/thisislove right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/thisislove. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit Solaray.com/Astaire and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any stage's formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When Olenka Vistica returned to Zagreb from her vacation, she told Dražen Grubišić about her idea to create something called the Museum of Broken Relationships.
We agreed on that was a great idea, and I think Dražen started Googling, and, well, this is something that should exist somewhere.
She remembers they Googled the phrase Museum of Broken Relationships in multiple languages to see if someone else had already thought of it. But all they found were websites offering advice to people who'd gotten their hearts broken, telling them to just get over it and move on.
You know, destructive advice, forget everything, erase everything, go shopping, prepare yourself for something new.
There is nothing like what Olenka and Dražen were imagining. They didn't think about it for a while, and a few years passed. But then, Dražen asked Olenka if she wanted to submit the idea, which was an archive for relationships that had ended, to a big art show in Zagreb.
And so Olenka just wrote it down, like, one page, and that's what we sent. And we got accepted, and we had 14 days exactly to really create this.
Olenka and Dražen started spreading the word among their friends and acquaintances. They were looking for contributions, items left over from ended relationships.
And then, of course, there was this big question mark. Is this going to work?
But then people started bringing them things. One broken-up couple brought them a yellow Vespa they used to ride together. Now that the relationship was over, they just wanted to give it away. Someone gave them a cardboard coaster with love notes written on it. One woman brought them an old journal where she'd written about a boy she'd loved as a student. Olenka remembers she'd often meet up with these people in the main square of Zagreb, underneath the big clock in the center, to do a formal handoff. She says it was moving, knowing that people, many of them complete strangers, were handing over memories for her to take care of. Sometimes she recognized them as people she'd seen around the city, and she liked getting to know little pieces of their lives, like one man who she sometimes saw in a bar.
And that was someone whom I knew by sight. We were, you know, drinking together in the same bar, but somehow, you know, there is this person who shares with you a part of his life. And I think this was very exciting.
The man handed her a prosthetic leg in a plastic supermarket bag. He'd been injured in the Croatian War and fell in love with the social worker at the hospital who'd helped him. The man wrote in a short description to display with the leg, quote, "The prosthesis endured longer than our love. It was made of sturdier material." Olenka and Drazin asked everyone who donated to write a few lines about the item and the story behind it, if they wanted to.
And we just left this open, so you could just write a sentence or you could write a page. And you could tell what it reminds you of. You could tell your love story, or you could tell your heartbreak story. We gave no directions whatsoever.
Just it was anonymous.
Yeah, it was always anonymous.
Was your wind-up bunny in the exhibition?
Yes, it was. No, I mean, if you're asking people to do something like that, then of course you have to show by your own example. So yeah, we gave the little bunny.
Also anonymously, because we were so shy. And when now we are speaking with you so openly, that that kind of is a proof how much time has passed, because in that April 2006, we didn't want to tell anyone that it came. Of course, friends knew, but to the papers, journalists, we were shy to admit that it came from our relationships, because we knew we would get questions about the relationship, and that was not our goal. It was more of a universal archive we were aspiring to create.
What was it like for you two to be there to see people's reactions? I mean, you weren't trying to talk much about the fact that your own relationship had ended, but was it healing in some way to be around all of that stuff?
So while we were working on the exhibition and agreeing what goes where, and you could see that we were still dealing with some burden from the relationship. So I think that we've learned to work together. And the fact that we created something that day that brought so much excitement and joy to people was a healing. Maybe we were not aware of that at that moment, but there's no greater love or joy or when you create something with someone. And the joy is even greater if it's something meaningful for people.
The exhibit did so well, Olenka and Drazin were invited to bring their installation to other cities: Berlin, San Francisco, and Singapore. Everywhere they went, they'd keep collecting new objects.
It was like a snowball. We just kind of touched it and it started rolling. And after a couple of years, we found ourselves with more and more objects and realizing, okay, this is not a one-time gig. This is not going to stop. So what are we going to do with all these things? I was already freaking out that I had some, you know, remnants from failed loves in my attic, and that this is not going to end well for me. This is bad karma, whatever. So we thought, given the fact that the project was so universal, no matter where we went in the world, we thought maybe we should kind of make it a permanent museum. So we tried to convince the city of Zagreb to give us the space, but it was so hard. We were not heard. We tried going to a bank to get a loan, and you imagine those bankers who laugh at the, okay, Museum of Broken Relationships, that sounds funny enough. But at the moment when they said, okay, guys, do you have anything to mortgage? So Andrajan said, just, I think it's time we just get up and and leave.
Eventually, they found a space to rent in the oldest neighborhood in Zagreb. And in 2010, they opened their museum.
The first object that greets you, I think now it's a garden gnome made of concrete, who is like the first dweller of the space, who is a kind of broken and crooked because it flew into the windshield of an expensive car as an expression of rage of someone who was being left after 25 years of marriage.
They also have a pair of pink fur handcuffs, a frisbee, a porcelain doll, and an iron, accompanied by the description, "This iron was used to iron my wedding suit. Now it's the only thing left." Someone donated a promise ring and said, quote, "We were just two kids who couldn't keep a promise." Do you each have kind of a personal favorite that you like?
It's hard to pick a personal favorite because there are many, and I like those two-liners that are telling you the whole... Sometimes you can imagine the whole movie in front of your eyes. And also I'm very attached to the objects where I was present when the person gave them or when the box was opened. So I remember like a huge pair of tennis shoes, like you can imagine it was worn by a really tall guy, basketball shoes. And the story that came with it was just, you was straight and I was gay and we played basketball together, and that killed me inside. I can imagine the whole world and that pain that you are kind of having this joyful experience of the game with someone you cannot be with. So the museum is about loves that existed and were broken, but also about those that were never possible, which is kind of maybe my favorite. What else? I like as many of the visitors do, the story of the toaster from Boulder that goes like, when you left the house, I took the toaster because you liked so much to toast your bread for breakfast. And how are you going to toast anything now? For me, it's this uselessness of rage, you know, you are taking revenge on someone but by taking the toaster, but it's kind of cynical and funny. I like also funny things.
Drazen says they have about 4,000 objects in the archive, but only about 100 are on display at a time. There are different rooms in the museum about different kinds of stories. They've had a room with objects from long-distance relationships, with lots of air sickness bags, and a room called Rage and Fury. They've also had a room with objects and stories about families.
There is one. It's a recording of a voice that we got in Japan. And it's a story. The father died and his voice is on this recording. It's a recording of, I guess, a weekend out on the beach or in the park or somewhere, because you can hear the birds behind and the wind and the leaves. And you can hear two kids giggling and singing a little song, a rhyme song, and a mom and dad. And it's exhibited so that you can hear the sound. This is a little paradox in a description of the story. It says that they had this tape and this recorder, but mom forbade them to listen to it because she was afraid they might by accident erase the tape. So they had it, but they didn't listen to it. And then she donated it to us. It's really beautiful how it kind of transports you somewhere else when you hear the sound.
So this isn't just about romantic relationships.
No, it's about all the emotional connections we create. We have a breakup with religion. We have breakup with gluten food. We have breakup with pets, with politics, with countries, with family, of course. And the usual ones that you expect, the romantic relationships as well.
What's the gluten food object?
It's about the pizza. Box of pizza dough, and the lady says that she really, really loved pizza, and unfortunately she can't have it anymore, so she's donating it to us.
Tell me about the axe that's in the collection.
Oh, the famous Berlin axe. It was a nice story how people can be creative. I'm being sarcastic here. The lady went into her first relationship. She finally opened up and let this other lady into her life, and they started living together. And then she went to US for a trip and just, I guess, phoned her to tell her that she's breaking up with her. And when she came back, like 2-3 weeks later, she found all her furniture that was in their apartment that they shared. She found it all neatly packed in plastic bags because this other lady that was being left bought the axe, and as a part of a therapy, each day chopped a little piece of furniture into even smaller pieces and filled the sacks.
What are some of the oddest things that you've received?
Oh, so this was not odd enough.
I think there might be. I've looked around. I think there might be some odder things.
I mean, it depends what your perception of odd is.
Maybe a scab.
Scab is kind of odd. I mean, scab is not that odd, but
it's odd.
Yeah, but the story is even funnier because she's a biologist or some similar field. And at one moment, she felt that what would she do if something happens to her boyfriend? So she collected this scab that he had from skateboarding or some other funny sport. And she saved it so that sometime in the future, she could clone him if something happens to him. Is that odd enough?
Well, it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Fox Creative.
This is advertiser content from 26.2 Team Milk and their new docuseries, Running Sucks.
Is running the worst?
Yeah.
Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I hate it so much. I hate it so freaking much.
That you're a real runner now!
I hate it.
I'm Abby Ayers, a 37-year-old mom from Utah who found herself running across the Manhattan Bridge in my first race ever.
Running Sucks celebrates women who run and the running communities that carry them across the finish line.
Running helped me in so many ways postpartum.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
For every person like you, I'm telling you, you belong, and I'm telling you, you can do it.
I never thought the words would leave my mouth, but yes, I'm planning on running a marathon. I can't even say it without laughing, because, like, who would have thought?
Watch Running Sucks at runningsucktheseries.com and learn more about how Team Milk is helping women runners across the country conquer their next course.
What did you donate to the Museum of Broken Relationships?
I donated two stones. One of them was white and long and can stand on one end. And the other stone, it was purplish, violet, round, very soft, and could roll.
This is a man we'll call Albert. He asked us not to use his real name. He lives in Copenhagen, and in 2009, he met a woman at a conference. She lived in Germany. They began a long-distance relationship, flying back and forth as often as they could. One weekend in April, they decided to go to an island off the coast of Denmark. Albert says nearly as soon as they got there, things started to go wrong.
We were completely unprepared for the cold weather. The cabin that we were staying at, that I had rented, was very, very ramshackle. No insulation in it at all. The wind just blew through the boards that made the outer wall of this cabin. At night, we would take our blankets and push the beds together and just huddle close to keep warm.
The next day, they went out for a walk. Albert says they always loved to walk, no matter where they were.
And we walked and walked almost around the circumference of the island.
They decided to go buy some food for dinner, but the island was very small and only had one grocery store.
And we got to the supermarket, and of course, the supermarket was closed. So there was no food to buy.
There was a jar of pickled herring and some potatoes back at their cabin, and that's what they ate for dinner.
The only thing that we could do was laugh and laugh because we were so happy being together.
The two of them went for a walk on the beach and each picked up a rock, the thin white rock and the round purple rock. When the weekend was over, they brought them back to Copenhagen, and Albert kept them on a shelf. They spent almost a year traveling back and forth to see each other. But Albert says it eventually became too difficult to keep up.
She had, as the year progressed, both of us became more and more tired or fatigued from the constant traveling and the stress of being apart. She had small children. I had small children, and it was simply too much pressure, the traveling, and the being apart from each other, and the expectations to how we should be for each other and what we should be for each other. So that was it. It ended there.
Years later, Albert heard about a new exhibit that was coming to Copenhagen, something called the Museum of Broken Relationships.
It sounded so funny and so strange, and also somehow a way to get closure for this broken relationship. Through all the years after we broke up, I still had two stones standing in my apartment on display as a memory of this, or as a memorial of this relationship.
Albert decided to give the rocks to the museum. And when he saw them displayed in the Copenhagen exhibit, he took a picture of them and texted it to his ex-girlfriend.
And I said, well, now our relationship will never, ever be forgotten, neither by you, by I, or by the world.
Not too long after that, they decided to get back together. Albert says their kids were older, and it was easier for them to travel. They spent years together, in two different countries, until last year, when they broke up again. Albert says they called their first year together Chapter 1, and after they got back together, Chapter 2.
And who knows, perhaps there will be a Chapter 3.
As the Museum of Broken Relationships grew, Olenka and Drazen did what they could to keep their own personal breakup kind of quiet. At what point did people discover that your relationship had been the motivation for this?
Pretty soon, I think. Because
no, I think we kept it hidden for like a couple more years.
No, but I think that we were kind of shy in Croatia at home. You don't want to talk about that. But I think immediately when we went to Singapore and to the States, that story came out. Because
really?
Kind of, yeah, I think so. I think so. If you go back to those interviews, but there is this, this is why I like to travel, this liberation, because you are somewhere, no one knows you. You can tell whatever story you want to tell about yourself. So it was easier to admit, and we realized it kind of really sparks people's interest even more.
What is it like to see people who've come into the museum and see their own object there?
It can be pretty diverse. Sometimes it's just funny because they find it the whole experience funny. Sometimes it gets really, really emotional. So as the stories are, so are the people.
They go through some kind of process because they are letting this story go. It's no longer their private possession. And they send it to the museum to be put on public view. And I think that's a cry for a conversation, and that's a wish to share your story with someone. And I think what motivates them the most is that excitement that their story is going to be understood by complete strangers. And sometimes you need that. You, like, you know, also when you fly a plane and then you kind of strike a conversation with someone and you end up telling your life. That's, and I think this is what museum offers to people, to share their most intimate experiences with fellow humans, no matter if they are not there at the moment. So, but that meeting is happening each time when I see a person like hunched over an object and a story. And this is when I know that this project, no matter how long it's been around, it still makes sense because we do need to share our experience with someone.
I wonder, do you think it's true that even if your relationship has ended, that once you've been in a romantic relationship with someone, there is always something between you? You might not want to be with the person anymore, but that connection, the way that you speak with each other, the way that you interact with each other, once you've been so close to someone, can never change completely.
Of course. I mean, that was one of the motivations for our project was after we read this horrible advice of how to deal with the remnants of your breakup. Like, get all your friends together and make a bonfire in your yard and get drunk. And it, for me, it was like, but you spend years with somebody and now you want to erase everything? I mean, how bizarre is that? Why would you want to do that? How do you know that in 10, 15, 20 years' time, you will maybe want to go through this drawer and look up at the photos and read the letters? And I mean, it's your own personal history. You've been with somebody that's being so close, you influence each other, you change each other. And now, because it didn't work out, you will just want to erase it all. It was really bizarre. And it's a funny sentence. Olenka said, well, if nothing else, we changed the search history. So now when you search broken relationships, you end up at our page first and not these, and not these barbaric ones.
If you'd like to send something to the Museum of Broken Relationships, you can find out how on their website, brokenships.com. This Is Love is created by Lauren Spohr and me. Nadia Wilson is our senior producer. Katie Bishop is our supervising producer. Our producers are Susanna Robertson, Jackie Sajiko, Lily Clark, Lena Sillison, and Megan Kinane. Our technical director is Rob Byers. Engineering by Russ Henry. Learn more about the show on our website, thisislovepodcast.com. And if you like the show, tell a friend or leave us a review. It means a lot. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at This Is Love Show. This Is Love is recorded in the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. We're part of the Vox Media Podcast Network. Discover more great shows at podcast.voxmedia.com. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running. And that's not the case. Most runners hate running. But they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon, taking place in Savannah, Georgia, on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.